Everybody in the house of the Lord, if you like, turn in your scriptures, turn to Romans 8, and then we'll go to Matthew 17. We found this sticking up over a picture back there in the thing, so I don't know where somebody's wanting to put the rod of correction out to us or what, but they laid a stick up over one of the pictures. If it belongs to one of you, you need to come and claim it, whatever it be, you know, but we found it laying in the back. Amen. Okay. There is to be a birthday party. I reckon it's meant to announce, isn't it? It's supposed to be a birthday party for Ezra at Brother Boyd and Janet's house on October the 29th at 3 p.m. Says everyone invited. All right. So that's for little Ezra's birthday. What will it be? 1 year old. Okay. He'll be 1 year old. That's good. And we found out yesterday, because little Sarah kept running around with a shirt on it, talking about a big sister. So we come to find out that Brother Marunga and Sister Marunga are going to have a little baby. I don't know whether I'm going to be an aunt or an uncle yet, because they haven't found out the time of it, you know, what it is. They haven't had enough time, but you know, the Lord be with them. Amen. We had a real good time, or I did, at the time of the festival and all, and really enjoyed it. Appreciate everybody for your working and all of the doings and the games and things. It was really great, you know, and everybody had a good time playing and all out in the ball field. It was really a good time. Appreciate all the cookings and things. And Brother Al, as usual, done a real good job of the chili. Making it, and it's doing, but, amen. Good to see you. Have a visitor with us this morning, and we always say when a visitor comes in, welcome. And then when you come back, you're just part of us because we're just part of the body of Christ. Okay, remember now, Brother Forney will be with us, the Lord willing, this coming Sunday, the 30th, and just be much in prayer for him. Remember, the Bible study then will be on November, it's the 5th, will be the first Saturday in November. And then Brother Joe Green will be with us, the Lord willing, on November the 9th. That's a Wednesday. Fellowship meeting will be on the third Saturday of November, which is the 19th. It'll be at Brother Tony's. And also just let us know if you want to go or whatever. And I'd be glad to try to help and supply way. Okay? Is that all the announcements? So we just, Romans 8 and then Matthew 17. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and love unto us. And thank you for the hour that we're living, the time, Lord. Thank you for everything. We know that even the air we breathe and the food we eat or whatever we do, Lord, we ought to thank you every day because it's given unto us by you. And Lord, in this day and the hour when everything is turning so horrible, the air we're breathing is very pitiful. The food we eat is pitiful. Everything's deteriorating, Lord, and we ask you to just be with each one of us and to have your way with our heart, in our hearts and lives. Forgive our sins and cleanse us and guide us. Just open your word because that's the only hopes that we have is for thine understanding of your word to come forth. Have your way in your love and your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Being in Romans, we're going to try now to, if we can, to finish this up today. It'll be according to how we get along in the line and then try to move on to some other things. But if we can, we'll try to have questions and answers on Wednesday. So write down your questions about what we've been doing, comments, thoughts, or whatever. Write them down. All right. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And as children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. See, it puts that part in there about the suffering because that goes with the Christian life, but not as just suffering, but we must face life as it is and live here, all right? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. That creature is creation, it's time, it's people, everything, world, trees, you know, animals, everything is under that part of vanity because of the fall that we made, right? All right, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. All right. Waiting for the end time, as Hebrews 11:40 says, they without us cannot be made perfect. So the world, the things and all of that, the natural, it can't come to the right place until something happens in this day. All right. Let's go to Matthew 17 and we'll start with verse 1-5. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now watch, hear ye him. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, to not back up a lot, but we have been talking about adoption in three stages, according to Romans 8. One is to be the new birth, to be brought into the body of Christ by the new birth. That is, you're adopting into the family. All right. The next is waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God to be in this day and the hour that we're living. All right. Then to come to the last part, as we read there, to the bodily redemption, which is to wit the redemption of the body. All right. As we said, all the other things of adoption that you even study of, even to the natural part of a child being adopted into the family of God by a Jewish people and their types, it still doesn't finish with the redemption of the body. But we have to come to that place, because if we don't, then where is it going to be and what is it going to be? All right. But we want to try to conclude some thoughts and to bring it to the point. And this last Wednesday, we spoke about how that the headship to the bride of Christ, the body, is the revealed word.
Amen.
All right. Now, then that revealed word would have to be all the word. Okay? All right. See, then if the cornerstone, which the scripture speaks of, we'll get to in a minute and just quote some of it. If the cornerstone was the revealed word, which was Jesus Christ,
amen.
All right, then what would be the headstone? It would have to be what he did not reveal back there in that time, which would have been Matthew 24, as we'll get back to it later, and how that Jesus didn't reveal those things to the disciples. So there was something left for them to be able to, you know, for it to be revealed. All right. Then if it's true that we believe the cornerstone, good to see Sister Mary back there with us. She was really out yesterday for the festival. And I said, you're sure walking good. And you know, she's doing good. So we appreciate it. All right. But if the cornerstone now to the church is the revealed word of God, which was Jesus Christ revealed and made known and being the word. And we're built on, the Bible says we're built in Ephesians on a foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
All right? So then that cornerstone was laid because what happened with Israel, when Jesus Christ came to his own, they rejected him. Where's Richard? We need to, or Aaron, we need to get a little bit of air, some going this way, the building this time of the year, come and turn the fan on at least. Okay? Because it's hard in this time of the year to do anything about it. All right. But in the church we gave, as the prophet was talking about, that we follow and try to believe, he said, in the church it's the cornerstone. Standing in the gap. He said, and in the full church it's the headstone. All right. So then there were some things not revealed back there. Jesus revealed enough to the disciples, and he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He revealed enough for the church to be built. Now, if you'll notice when they ask him the question there of the one that I'm just quoting, you know, he said, who do man say I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter did. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He didn't give him the answer to what he asked, but Jesus knew that he would know nothing about the answer, as I've tried to say over and over to you. The disciples in none of their writings, the great apostle Paul, none of their writings did they speak of the Son of Man. Even the things of Paul looked like he would have brought that out, but it was something that was withholding us, as I was trying to say Wednesday. All right. Can't you see then that Jesus, now, if we're not going to get a change of the body, you know, we're not going to get this body changed, and we might as well forget it. I mean, just don't worry about it. We just go on until we all die and go by the grave or do something. But if we believe that the Bible brings redemption to the total completion, and why would it not to come to the point of the redeeming of the body? Then that would be the last thing to be made known. Right? And as in any story that would be brought, the last thing in the Bible would be bringing to the completion into eternal life. Even go over to Revelations and read it. When it comes to the book of Revelation 21, 22, you've got into dealing with a future home. You know, dealing with the point of everything coming to eternal life, which would be God's plan and purpose. Well, then something's got to happen to these bodies. You know, so the basic of the world religion, as I say, half the people of this message think we're going to get us a new one. Well, according to Brother Branham, then we would miss it because he said Jesus came forth with nail prints in his hands. Do you notice that in the Bible? He had them. Well, it looked like he got the same body. It don't look like he got a new body. Why would we be concerned with getting one? Besides, I'll get it this afternoon some, Christianity is based upon resurrection. Christianity is not based on replacement. It's based on resurrection. And if there can't be a resurrection, then where are we? He said, well, the Bible said this about, yeah, but where has it been fulfilled? See, we're in the hour when everything's waiting on you and I. I didn't write the book. That's Hebrews 11:40. Without us, they cannot be made perfect. All right. See, then they're waiting on you and I to come to a place to where that there can be a bodily redemption. So then wouldn't that not be the opening of the seals? What would be the last thing to be revealed? What was the last thing to be made known to the prophet? You say, well, he went over here and he preached this, preached this. I didn't ask that question. May I quote from him? He said marriage and divorce was revealed in the seals. Is that right? Everything was revealed in the seals. Future home was revealed in the seals. Christ the mystery of God revealed was revealed in the seals. All of those things that are to be revealed in the seals. That's what I've asked you. Just simply ask you to go and read the book that names the titles of the sermons after the prophet preached the seals. And see if they all don't deal with his specific message of eternal life coming to you and I. Alright? See, then what are we waiting on? What are we thinking about? But yet we like to look to something else. I was just sitting there a while ago and I just happened to think about something and I just pulled it off. I didn't give it to them. We're looking for supreme authority. That's not the title of the message. The title is the headstone is the revealed word. Because you know what I believe and what I preach. This message is the final revelation to the Gentile dispensation. If not, we got to go find another prophet. We got to find something greater than what was sent to us. All right? See, then you got all of your thoughts and your ideas, but what about him saying? Supreme authority, spiritual food in due season. God witnessed the same. He's talking about the supreme authority, the wig and the thing. See? God witnessed the same on Mount Transfiguration. Said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him, or hear him, is the exact wording, the supreme authority. Now, if we believe that we have received the message that would take us to the change of the body, and that's what I asked a man one time when he was trying to trick me a little bit about some things, he was saying, you know, we go beyond Brother Branham. He just swept off the foundation. You know, we go beyond him. We're the message is to us now. I said, would you mind telling me what he preached? And then I'll listen to you of what you got to preach. I said, you realize he preached us all the way to the future home. So if you're going to tell us something, go beyond the future home and tell me greater things about other things. But I said, he's done preached us the future home. Right? I didn't mean to be arrogant. I just meant to be straight and blunt. He was trying to be straight and blunt with me. He was trying to tell us we needed to listen to them. But that's right. But listen. What about supreme authority? Look what he says on the message, the Witnesses, 1954. And if you know positionally who you was and what you are tonight, there wouldn't be a feeble person in here in the next 5 minutes. And he said, if you knew who you was and what you're doing. Right? Watch him. The thing of it is, you're looking off into a millennium for something to happen when it's already here. This is 54. Now we are the sons of God. Not we will be. We are right now. When? This night. Right now. This minute. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus now. Oh, if you only recognize that. And the supreme authority that Jesus Christ has given to every believer. Oh, yeah, we got the supreme authority. We've got the prophet. He's made, and it's about like we were laughing this morning, not laughing at somebody, but laughing because Sister Johnny was telling about where they went in this church, and I didn't get to all the story, but I'll just say this way. They were going to have the communion part, and they had one big head guy. He took the communion. You know, he took the bread. He drank the wine. And they passed it to everybody in the congregation. But nobody dared touch it. Took an hour to pass the plate. I guess in the wine, you know. But nobody touched it. Why? Why would there be nobody touch it? It would mean that nobody there is worthy, right? The only one worthy was the big guy. But they had to have somebody of a certain group to be able to take the communion, but nobody else was worthy. Isn't that something? But see, we don't think about those things as being in the point. But to recognize who we are, the supreme authority that Jesus Christ has given to every believer, anything you have desire of, need of, only thing you have to do is ask and receive it. But that was only for Brother Branham. That's what a big man this message said. He said third pull was only for Brother Branham and the Lord Jesus, and we don't have anything. Well, I mean, if that's what you believe, then there's no need of listening to anybody else, all right? But he goes to the point of talking about it. Now listen. Where are we at, church? That's all I've tried to say to you in this whole series, is you get you to recognize and me to recognize who we are and what we're doing here. We're supposed to have been recognized for a long time that God sent a prophet. So it's not to recognize God sent a prophet. You know, to newcomers or whatever, yeah, okay. But to us in the message, it's not supposed to be trying to decide whether God sent a prophet or not. We should have that settled. So it evidently must be based upon you and I to not be able to believe it. What are we looking for? Something. We're looking for something to come. That's the point I'm trying to get you to see. The thing I wanted to try my best to get us to find out is what? The headship to the body of Jesus Christ is a revealed word. Would that not be then the prophet's message? Of the things that light had not shined upon. Would that not be what was left over that the disciples didn't have? And even Brother Branham quoting it, he said Jesus didn't know his part in the kingdom until he went to Patmos. Well, we sure don't like that. He said Jesus didn't know his part. He said, but when he went to Patmos and come forth, then he knew what was going on. See? The opening of the word. I thought our headship was supposed to be the word. I thought Paul taught that. I thought that was the doctrine of the faith of the fathers. That the headship was a revealed word. Now, not a dead letter. Not because I'd say, I'm holding this up. Bless God, here's a headstone. No. Now turn around and take your Bible. Hold it up. Say, ours a headstone. May I quote your prophet? As long as it lays on the pages of this Bible, what did he say? He said it can be questioned. But if it comes off the pages of the Bible into your heart, it can't be questioned. You say, well, what's an example? What about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of Father, Son, Holy Ghost? The Bible never taught it, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We were the one that said those things. The Catholic Church, I can prove to you by your own encyclopedias where it was changed at. But people don't want to hear that. Why? Because they still believe in the same thing that the one old feller's got a right to take the communion, but nobody else ain't worthy. What's the difference of that and the Pope? What's the difference of that and the Pope's doctrine? What are we doing? All right. But listen, our headship is a kingdom. It's the word of God made spirit and life in our own lives. That's Christ the mystery of God revealed. Paragraph 528-529. The headship is Christ revealed to you and I in our own lives.
Right.
If we are the body of Jesus Christ.
Right.
If we are the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why would we look for any other headship than the revealed word? Right? Why would we be concerned about our own ideas and thoughts?
Right.
Yeah, but I think it's so and so. Bible don't give you a right to think. Sheep forfeit all rights. Well, I'll tell you what, I can read my Bible if I want to. That's as carnal as you can get. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we speak contrary to the word of God that we claim to believe. And they're shown that, then how can you say that your headship is a kingdom? If the headship is a revealed word, then the revealed word would be the finality of the opening of the seven seals. And where would it be anything besides that? But do you look at it in that way? See, the revealed word, as I said, it's the cornerstone. They rejected the headstone. Natural Israel rejected even the cornerstone. I tried to explain that, and I'd listened to it the other day, and I thought, well, yeah, that's where people won't listen to what I'm saying. They'll interpret what I'm saying. The prophet is the one that said that the bride rejected the headstone. I didn't say it. But yet we interpret that as rejection. No. They didn't have it. They did not have the headstone because Jesus didn't make it known. See, it wasn't that they had it there. I don't want that. I reject it. That's what we take the terminologies. We make it say to what we want it to say. Instead of believing that mankind turned down the very God himself that was standing on earth, which was the headstone. What about when he come riding in on that little white donkey? What if they'd have received him as their Savior? They wouldn't be you and I. But I gave you scriptures and we went through it and everything. Were that what? The Bible had already said he'd be rejected. It spoke of before he got here that he'd be rejected. Isaiah and the thing. It spoke of what would happen. Well, when it happened, was that anything contrary? Well, bless God, I wasn't back there. I didn't reject it. What about now? What about now? Is there any difference? See, we're supposed to be looking at what God has given us. So that was what my whole purpose this last Wednesday was, to get us to see that the opening of the word that we needed was those seven seals. Now watch. He said, Serpent Seed, 58, I think that's right. But what did he say? He said it was revealed in the seals. So even though he had preached the truth about it, it was revealed in the seals. What about the way he had always preached? One true and living God. Right? What about after the seals when he preached Christ as the mystery of God revealed? Huh? 57, he preached, who is this, who Melchizedek was? He was the Word made flesh, God Almighty, to Abraham and to all of them. Why did he preach over, who is this Melchizedek? Why? Because it's getting opening of the word. Do you realize what I'm saying? That even though the prophet preached the word as best he could, he himself didn't know. What about getting on the seals and starting off? When he said, I'd have made a horrible mistake if the Lord hadn't have corrected me on something I was fixing to do. What was he fixing to do? He tells you what he's fixing to do. He's fixing to preach the way he'd preached it, that he'd preached up until that time, that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. You realize that was a mystery hidden that even a prophet couldn't get until God unveiled it? Not peons like you and I that couldn't get it. Even hidden from the prophet. It was even hidden from the great apostle Paul. He never called it the Antichrist. John was the only one called it the Antichrist. He had to go to Patmos and come back to write the book of Revelation before he could say that it was the Antichrist. But he still didn't know the seals and how to put it in there, did he? You see what I'm trying to get us to see? Even though Jesus preached 3.5 years to the disciples, the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost to make that alive in their hearts and give them what would be called the faith of the fathers, the foundation of the entire Bible, basing upon what they said, because that's what it said. They built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, what? The chief cornerstone, the disciples. Foundation they brought. They brought the faith of the fathers into being, into manifestation. But yet they could not see the great things that would be under the opening of the seals. But you see, I say it like that and I look at you and I get blank faces like, I don't know whether that's right or not. Well, it's about time for you to figure out what the truth is and back up the truth or either get out, because being in the wrong ranks at the rapture, the prophet said, would be no excuse. What is the wrong ranks? And you military guys know what the wrong ranks is, right? A half a step out. If you're a whole step out, you're still in rank. You just got everything messed up. But if you're a half a step out, you going up, they going down, that's where you're missing it at. See, to not believe the end time of where we're at. See, that cornerstone was the headstone made manifest according to Peter 2 and 6. Become the head of the corner, cornerstone to the church. The headstone was rejected, but it become the corner, which is the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, which is the Word of God. Then what would be the headstone coming to the church? The prophet called it on a reproach for the cause. He's talking about, let's get that one. Go ahead and pull up number 5. He said, I've been in Cairo, Egypt, and the cap never did come because it was a cornerstone. It was a headstone. In the church, it was the cornerstone. In the full church, it was the headstone. So it never did come. It was rejected Christ and will come. And see, then he talks about when it's coming, how it would be made manifest. Go to, that's number, you're on number 5. I'm reading number 6, okay? Remember my message? The opening of that capstone. Now this is 62, before the seals broke. But he's in all of the visions and the things that was told him, right? And look what he calls it. Calls the capstone, where those seven voices and seals that's not even wrote in the Word of God. Remember, it took me into that pyramid. It's not wrote. It's not wrote in the point that it's not. It was wrote, as we'll get to it in a minute, by the Lord Jesus, or spoken, but nobody understood it. Why? Because there was just no way. See? All right. Now, I've made this statement to you, but see, you... Do you think about it? You say, the headstone is the Word of God. Well, the cornerstone is the Word of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So then if that be true, then what would we be waiting on in the last days? What would be the purpose of a prophet to come in the last days? It was not to restore. It was, because he had to do that part. But the faith of the fathers had already been preached. The apostles preached that. The cornerstone had already been preached. Come on, the Bible said. We build on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. It was already preached. May I quote Brother Branham? The Bible, and as far as man knowed, had already been preached. Watch his wording. As far as man knowed. He said, how many knowed that there were seven seals to be revealed? You see, church, I'm trying to chop this off to just quit on it because it seems to have drug out too hard on you. So I'll come back. But how many hours and weeks could I spend on the prophet talking about the opening of the seals and the thing and what it was? Being the full Word of God. Things man had never seen before. Light had never shined upon those things. What denomination ever taught anything like that? It'd take the prophet to know those seals and what it would be, right? But do we understand? Now let's just try to get into the message today. And I'm trying my best to cut it to where that I can. What about when I've made the statement that Brother Branham said, the Ten Commandments, and he called them the seals? What about that? Go ahead to number 7. This is from the unveiling of God. And watch him. Now we're typing, right? Because I'll read down here in a minute where Moses prefigured it, typing it. So watch what happened. Remember, before the true message came forth, Moses preached and led them out of Egypt. Is that faith of the fathers? Is that the way it's supposed to be? You could not, Brother Brown couldn't bring this message to the denominations. But he had to go get the bride and bring her out of it. Right? He had to bring her out of it before he could preach the truth. Is that sensible? Because wasn't that what Moses done? Remember, before the true message come forth. What was Moses' true message? The opening of the seals. You said, no, it was the Ten Commandments. I'm glad you said that, because that way you read it. What? Moses preached and led them out of Egypt. But there before the real commandments was laid down, the seals was brought in. I wish I had about 4 hours to preach the seals and the Ten Commandments. What is the first commandment? What is it? Just paraphrasing it. What does it say? Behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And his name one. Now, what's the first seal? First seal is revelation of Jesus Christ, right? Not a revelation of Antichrist. That's where we get it all messed up, isn't it? Seals don't reveal the Antichrist. It reveals Jesus Christ. You see the Antichrist right away from you. Wade's downstairs doing that part. But listen. What about it? Brother Branham said, because I made a statement, and it's offline just a hair, but it's right, because, and what I'm saying, now, did he say, if you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse, go back and read it again? Did he say that? Okay. So that means the seals is not a book of rules. I know the story. I've been through it. I've looked over. I know all through it. I don't mean everything. I just know some thoughts, right? The seals is the Word of God. Not a book of rules. They wanted a book of rules. They said, give us, read there, Exodus 19. Give us something to do. They wanted a book of rules. It was never God's intention to give them the Ten Commandments. Why? Because he knew they would take it as a book of rules. And he didn't give them what they thought. That's the paraphrase quote that I'm giving. They thought they got a book of rules. But they didn't. They got a revelation of Jesus Christ. Because if you can't see Christ in every verse, back up and read it again. The Ten Commandments was not a book of rules. If it was just a book of rules, how could it be a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ? Oh, rules brings us to Christ. Oh, yeah. Glory. But look. In adoption, then. What about Moses and adoption? Well, that's back in the Old Testament. Reading, I like it that way. So just remember what he says. Moses preached and led them out of Egypt. But there before the real commandments was laid down, the seals were brought in. He's just typing it. But he's telling you what it was back there. It was a revelation of Jesus Christ, right? No, all you can read is, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh. One of them says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh. You know, then the prophet must be right when he said marriage and divorce was revealed in the seals. and the seals being the commandments, there's marriage and divorce. You think I can't do it? I've done it before. I'm not bragging. I'm just talking about you can take every one of them seals. If you notice what I've done, I just took seal number one to tell you that you can't have but one God and put it right in to the revelation of Jesus Christ that there's just one true and living God. See, that way you get away from a book of rules. You get down to see that a prophet knows what he's talking about. He knew a lot about it before the marriage and divorce was ever broke to him, right? Why? Because of the Word of God. He could take those 10 commandments and the seals and put them identically together. I'm not bragging. I can to a degree. There's some things I can't follow. Because it's never been revealed to me. But there's the first seal showing you one God. There's the 10 commandments showing you one God. There's one of them saying, thou shalt not commit adultery. And there's marriage and divorce. The prophet said it was revealed in the seal. What? What Moses and them spoke of. Remember those were back there watching. The seals were brought in. He said, before that happened, what happened? God came down before the people and proved that Moses was sent to them. Now, did not God come before mankind in the last days? The very picture and everything before the opening of the seals. Am I right? He come down and vindicated the man, right? Same thing Moses. Pillar of fire. Proved that Moses was sent. That's right. In a pillar of fire that Moses said he'd seen in the bush and talked to him. What about this messenger in the last days and his very picture took with him? Am I right? What are we doing then? Look at the next one. Look at number 8. Take them for the message of the believer's position in Christ. He's talking about how the Son come over and how to be worthy and listen to the Father. He took out in the street and he's publicly and all brought. The Father had a ceremony and adopted his Son into his family. Now watch it. Paul's saying here, I ain't got to that, that's this evening. Having predestinated us unto the adoption. See, unto the adoption. Moses, a prefigure of it. Moses, a prefigure. What's a prefigure? Types? Foreruns? What happened? Identically placing it with the prophet's ministry that Moses met a pillar of fire and then Moses got 10 commandments. Right? Proven to be what it was. What about Jesus coming down on the River Jordan, the Holy Ghost coming down on him? But it says there, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. In type, was that not the Holy Spirit coming upon him to type you and I as our new birth? He was tutored for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, the Lord Jesus, God himself, was tutored. Listen, church. You see why I'm cutting it short, but I could spend months on this one statement. Do you realize Brother Branham said it? I got it in here, so I'll give it to you when I get there. You realize he was saying like this one day? He said there was times the Father spoke. there was times the Son spoke. I've got it right in here, so don't worry about it. If you're on the internet, you just run that into your computer. You'll find it. Because you're going to turn off the rest of it anyway. You're not going to listen. But at least you'll know that the prophet did say it. What is your prophet talking about? He never said that after the Mount of Transfiguration. He said that when Jesus was going through his tutorship. In the tutorship is supposed to be teaching a child the nature of the Father. But you've never noticed this. Oh, yes, I have. Well, Moses in prefigure. He was tutored of God, taken out and backside of the desert, all kind of thing. And God came to him in a burning bush. Right? That wasn't all the ministry of Moses, was the burning bush. You see an exact example of Jesus coming to the River Jordan. This is my beloved son. He come to Moses and he said, I am that I am. Moses went down to Egypt and Pharaoh said, who's going to take her out? He said, I am. That was pretty strong, wasn't it?
Amen.
Pretty close, wasn't it? Then he brought him out. He brought him out. And when he did, he took him to the mountain. It was the same mountain where he saw God. He saw God in one burning bush. When they came back to the mountain, I'm reading your Bible, go home and read. When he came back, the whole mountain was on fire. I like that. You know why? Because there was a bush for everybody. If they'd have done right. And they could have heard God. But what did they do? Don't let God speak lest we die. Moses, you go up there and find out what he's talking about. And we'll do it. It was the greatest mistake they ever made. Exodus 19. He went up there and got the Ten Commandments and brought them down. May I say it where the prophet said it? Let's see. Moses wrote, or how was it? How's that statement? I'll get it in my mind in a minute. But God interpreted. Right? We know that because only God can interpret. But when you turn it around to Moses, you know what happened? God wrote and Moses interpreted. I'm giving you the words of the prophet so you can do what you want to. It got switched right back around to where it don't even look like it's correct. Because God would write and God would have to interpret. We know Moses never sat down and wrote. God done the writing and God done the interpreting to Moses. But when it got turned around, Moses interpreted what the Ten Commandments were. You say, it's getting a little bit too far. No, it ain't far enough yet. You realize your prophet would stand there and he'd decide on the seals. When he got to the sixth seal, read it. He said, God, I can't tell them that. He made a decision of things that was not to be told to the people. I didn't write the book. But do we believe it? Moses was God to the people. We know he wasn't God to human. God, right? Come on. Don't accuse me of stuff like that. Brother Branham is God to the people. Why? Because it's a revealed word. Not the man. The man in these messages here made mistakes. God don't make no mistakes. Oh, while I'm at it, I'll say it. Okay, I forgot it. Brother Joe wants to take the church back and have them reworked because of the wording they done wrong on the back of the one of the things. So if you want to get him, yours redone, I told him I don't care, because where it said trumpeter or trumpers, we are the trumpers. He's the trumpet. We are the trumpers. I said, I don't care. But he wants to take them back. And besides now, I thank you better. That's not a scripture that Joe put on the back of the shirt. That's a song. That's not a scripture. It's a song. You didn't pay attention to that part. All right. He wants to take them, send them back. All right, that's his business. He can do what he wants to. If you want him to, wash them. Because I don't think they want to fool with them without you washing them. All right. And then they'll try to get them changed. If that's what you want. He said, what, 2 weeks, I think. He said, make sure within the next 2 weeks or something. Make sure you get them to him if you want yours changed. I don't care about mine because I know what it means. I'm a trumper. You say, well, that's the wrong word. It is if you look up the word trumper. Because it turned out to be kind of arrogant. Maybe that's what I am. Okay. That's what he wants. Okay. Now, so Moses went out to the backside of the desert. Right? I know I ain't going to get on, so I'll finish part of this evening and close it out. Moses went to the backside of the desert and met the angel of God, right? At the burning bush. He gave him a message for the people, which were the Ten Commandments. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the river Jordan, and the voice said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. He never preached Matthew 24 until after he preached Matthew 17. I'm giving you Brother Branham. Matthew 17, Jesus goes up on the mountain. He ain't brought the seals yet. He goes up on the mountain, Matthew 17. He comes off of that mountain. Jesus does. Comes down. Even told the disciples. He said, don't tell them about this vision until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. He said, because they won't understand, in other words. Jesus comes off the mountain. And Brother Branham said it was a very short period of time. He went straight from the Mount of Transfiguration to Calvary. There's very few miracles done from Matthew 17 to Matthew 24. Because see, that's what we've got it built on, is great manifestations of healings and signs and wonders. But yet between Matthew 17 and Matthew 24, God came on the scene. And a man preached six seals. After he preached six seals, he preached marriage and divorce. You say, well, it started back there, Matthew 5. Yeah, but over here in is it 19 and going on through, he preaches. Are you listening? The word opened to the Lord Jesus, and he preached 3.5 years his message. The word opened to this end time prophet, and he preached 3.5 years his message. What about you and I? In case I forget it, go ahead. Let's just see about Moses and what happened back there. Go ahead to number 9, which is adoption, 1965-23. He says, get around one over here and over there, place him. I can place him, adoption, placing, manifesting, take him out here and put a ceremony on him, visit him with an angel. Tell him something. Moses went out. Remember, right behind this we're reading where Moses prefigured. Moses went out, met an angel at a burning bush. Then he went and preached the Ten Commandments. Jesus started out on the River Jordan. Matthew 17, he was visited with an angel. He came out and preached. Six seals. Brother Branham, exact example, went to a backside of the desert, Arizona, met a group of angels, come back and preached the seals. Every bit of it perfectly in line. I've got so much here that I'm not going to get to it. But I'm going to just say it in a few words. He said on the message, identified masterpiece of God. If they can keep up with me, we'll run fast. Number 11. He talks about a mount of transfiguration. While he yet spake, there came a voice out of the cloud. It said, this is my beloved son. I'm so pleased with him. I'm going to smite him for you. Hear ye him. He's going to speak. The message, in case people miss it, beyond the curtain of time, 1955, the person Jesus Christ was talking and God was talking in him. Sometimes it was Christ himself, sometimes it was the Father. So that you don't miss it. Think I just made something up. What about it? Now may I say it and you listen? See, after the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father never spoke no more. Go read your Bible. The Father never spoke no more. Why? Because he gave you the key right there. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. What about it? On the message, hear ye him, 1956, number 12. I want to take the text, hear ye him. After all, he's the voice of authority. God himself witnessed so at this time. Hear ye him. There's many voices in the world today. There's many things going on. Many doctrines. Many isms. But hear ye him. He's the voice of that final authority. He's the one that'll speak. He's the one that said, the heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. So hear ye him. He's the one to listen to. The Father never spoke another word. Read your Bible. Masterpiece. He's talking about Michelangelo. God seeing this, he smote him and said, and has cried out, speak, as Michelangelo did. Speak. This is my beloved son, hear ye him. And if you're going to hear, he's got to speak. It was just a few days before he was smitten. This is my son, who I'm pleased to dwell in. I have molded him. I've been 4,000 years bringing him to this. And now he is so perfect, I've got to smite him so he can speak. Hear ye him. He is the perfected one. Amen. He is the masterpiece. Amen. If you're going to hear, yep, you got to hear him.
Yep. Right. Amen.
What about it? If you're going to hear, you got to hear him. Okay? What about all the things that Jesus preached? So signs and wonders is not necessarily a total vindication of a manifested son and daughter of God. That's what we put on it. We look at authorities, we look at things like that. I don't look at that. I look at the revealed word. If that ain't the authority, I'd like to know what it is. What about the message Christ revealed in his own word? Number 18. Today, so confused about the evidence of the Holy Ghost and so forth. Satan can impersonate any kind of a gift that God has got. But he cannot bring the word, word by word. So you're looking for signs and wonders to try to prove a manifested son and daughter of God. You're in a death trap and don't realize it. May I stand here and quote scripture for the rest of the part? There's two scriptures in the Old Testament. One says if a prophet tells you anything, you better hear him. But there's another scripture that said if a man comes to you and gives you a sign, and the sign comes to pass, but said he takes you to another God, don't hear him. I thought we believed we were in the end time when anointed ones under the genuine Holy Spirit would be doing great signs and wonders. But anointed ones can't bring the word, word by word. There's your difference. So what is the proof of the headstone? The proof of the headstone to Jesus, to Moses, was not signs and wonders. It was the word he went out there and got for the people. What was proof to the Lord Jesus? Satan can impersonate all of it. It wasn't signs and wonders. It was the word he brought. What did they kill him for? Signs and wonders. Come on, read your Bible. Did they kill him because of the signs and wonders? No, they wanted him to feed the sick and heal them. Heal the sick and feed the people. But when he began to say, I and my Father are one. When he began to bring the message. What about this prophet in the end time? Oh yes, they wanted him, they wanted him, they wanted him. Until he began to say, I and my Father are one. And may I quote him? He said, when you begin to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, he said, the shuck will pull away. You need that quote? I'll be glad to give you these after service. I'm just trying to end the whole thing up with one thing. He went straight to Calvary, had a short message. Here he am, 1960. Number 20, it's a short message. Jesus come right off a mountain, went straight to Calvary. He said, it won't last long. But it'll be here.
Yep. Right.
What did he say? After the door of the Gentile church is closed, I'll anoint a church then. God will do in 1 year what theologians tried to do in 2000. But said he's doing it now. That's questions and answers in 1954. What about it, church? After a short and powerful demonstration of the Spirit, this little hunted and persecuted group will go to be with Jesus. That's page 361. Of the Lady Sin Church Age or Church Age book. Listen, church, do you follow me? What is proof of adoption? Proof of adoption is not signs and wonders. That's what you think. That goes with it because, hey man, it's there. Praise God. But what is it? What is it without character? How's that called? Power without character is satanic. Power, signs and wonders, healings. So what are you looking for in the last days? You looking for signs and wonders to prove whether somebody's a manifested son or daughter of God? Or are you looking at the way they handle the word?
That's it. Right. Amen.
Huh? Come on. Then I stand right here and say, all you want to think about me, you think about it. But you come and show me where I missed this prophet's message. Oh, you didn't see this. You didn't. I said, come and tell me where I missed the message. I ain't talking about little isms here, this thoughts here. I thought it's this. I believe it's that. I'm talking about the Word. Come and show me where I've ever been off the Word. That's a challenge to the world. Well, you don't believe in so-and-so's doctrine. Get off of that. Don't send me them. I'm talking about the Bible. Show me where did I preach the seals and it was wrong. Show me where I preached Daniel 70 weeks and it was wrong. Show me where I preached marriage and divorce and it be wrong. You say, you're just getting exalted. You get now, hey, don't you worry about it. I done told you before. If this thing don't straighten out pretty quick, you got till the end of the year. And if it ain't straightened out by then, you get you a pastor. I'm quitting. That's as blunt as I can put it. Because I fought it out and all I've done is got ridiculed and hated and done to try to bring the Word. But yet people don't want the Word. They want the little fisms and isms. Oh boy, yeah boy. Oh, they just run with that. And you bring the Word, word after word, day after day. Come and show me anywhere. You say, are you exalted? Do what you want to. Jesus said, show me where I'm anywhere off the Word. Is that scripture? I thought the prophet said what spoke for the bridegroom spoke for the bride. Come and show me where I anywhere missed this prophet's message with this Bible. I ain't talking about no what you think about the 10, or what you think about the third pool, what you think about this, or what you think about that. I'm talking about show me where I've missed it in this Word. See? Just remember, we'll get to it this evening. He predestinated us unto adoption. This is the only age that is predestinated to the change of the body. Will you give me 5 minutes? Moses was God's call man, right? Proven to be him. But he couldn't do nothing until he went out there on the backside of the desert and met the angel of the Lord. He puts his wife on a donkey and heads to Egypt, thinking in his mind he was going to be killed the minute he walked in. Would you think he was afraid of it? No. He wasn't afraid of being killed. Come on, folks. Get sense in your mind. A man walked right in the camp of an enemy. Walked right up before the king. And the guy, all he had to do is say, bloop. Right? And he walks right up and he says, let my people go. Well, who are you? Kill him. Why was it? Pharaoh must have been afraid. Right? Why didn't he just have him killed? He must have been afraid of him. Sure, naturally he's afraid he'd cause an insurrection and take over the government. But he must have been afraid of other things. Did he let a nation be destroyed by a man's words? And that still ain't the Ten Commandments. He leaves there and brings the people out. And God leads him right back where he met him at. And he brought 10 commandments. Those are the revelation of Jesus Christ, not a book of rules. The Lord Jesus Christ came up through his life, born what? Lord the Christ. River Jordan, he was anointed by the Holy Ghost to bring the message. The Father spake, he spake. Why? Because for 3.5 years he was being tutored. But when he come to Mount of Transfiguration, there was no more tutorship. From then on, it was what? God saying, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. In other words, if you're going to hear anything, I read it. If you're going to hear anything, you're going to hear him. The Father never spoke no more. Read your Bible. He was speaking. until he finally committed his hand, his soul into the hands of Almighty God. He promised a church and a bride to come back to where Joel, where I will restore. He promised that. And here he come to do it. And when he come to do it, he started making a way. And he brought a prophet to bring us the message. You have never read the Bible. Let me say something. How many of you ever noticed this part? Why does the Bible say certain things? If I can find it. I preached it to you before, but just to get you to think. We read Malachi 4, 5, and 6. But do we ever read Malachi 4 and 4? We read Malachi 4, 5, and 6. But have you ever read Malachi 4 and 4? If they can get it, pull it up, brothers, if you would. But I'll read it to you. Okay, there it is. Why would this end the Old Testament? We know it's ending here because John the Baptist is promised to come before and introduce Jesus Christ, right? Which is Luke 1:17, which is Malachi 4, which was Elijah coming for the third time of John the Baptist. And he turned the hearts of the Old Testament children to the New Testament. And Brother Branham was to take and turn it back the fourth time of Elijah. We follow that, but do we read the Bible? This is summing up the finality of the Old Testament. But look what it says. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Then he tells you what's going to happen with John the Baptist and the Elijah of this last days. Ending the Old Testament talking about the Ten Commandments. Now you call them a book of rules. The statutes and the judgments, the things Moses brought. He was told to remember that. If anything happens from then on, remember it. Remember Jesus speaking and God would speak. You check it out. And Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, all kind of signs and wonder. Yes, there's a few after Matthew 17. But his main ministry was in his early ministry of the healing the sick and all. Was it not that away with our prophet in the last days?
That's right.
And here he comes, the Mount of Transfiguration. Look at the scripture. I've asked him, how many times have I said this? You go to get your book and look at him. Brother Branham preached, hear ye him. 25 or 30 times. Some of them times he never mentioned Mount of Transfiguration. You know what he was saying? Hear him. Hear him. Go back and get it and read him. Listen. Hear him. Hear him. Who are we to hear? Well, the Pope said it so-and-so. We can't take Jesus' word for it because he is wrong over here in Matthew 28:19. He summed it up by saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. If you hear anything else, you're going to get it from him. May I end it by saying this and show you where I stand, where I always have stood? If Brother Branham was the prophet of Malachi 4, then why are we to listen to anybody else besides him? He's the only one vindicated. Listen, he's the only one that stayed word by word. And look at the human being made mistakes. But God never made a mistake. This is my beloved son, hear ye him. Why don't you listen to the message like that sometimes? Why don't you listen to Brother Branham while you listen to the tape and sometimes stop and think? This is the only way I'm going to hear from God. Moses had people that went out and helped him explain a lot of things, right? So is a fivefold ministry. I've said that over and over. People don't understand me. The Bible said the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. It does not say, Brother Branham, it's for the perfecting. It says it. The Bible said it. Your prophet said it. Why don't you hear him if you're going to believe him? The fivefold ministry is for the perfecting. But what is the fivefold ministry supposed to bring? What was all the rest of them there in the Bible time supposed to do? Stay with Moses. What happened to the guy that made the golden calf? A prophet that made a golden calf and said, I throwed this in there and it jumped out here. Now that's pretty dumb, ain't it? But you know what he finished up by doing? Because he was right. He said, in other words, you paraphrase it, you bring it down the end, what he's saying. I brought out what was in them people. By making that golden calf, he brought out the spirit that was in them people because they went to worship it. But can't you think? Think about the end time, what we've had, church. Come on, brother. What we've had delivered unto us. A message. To take us to a change of the body. Brother Brown's early ministry, sure, they were human mistakes. If you'll go look, you'll find him saying like this. And that's why people have turned against a lot of things. He said, if I'm wrong in one point, I'm wrong in all of it. You ever heard that statement? There's a brother priest right here one time, a young brother. And he found where Brother Branham thought he missed it. Well, I can show you where he did miss it with the White Horse Rider. But I ask you to go and listen to the tapes in relation to where he was talking about the White Horse Rider was the Holy Ghost and see if he didn't say on them messages, if I'm of God, let him come down and vindicate. And God came down and vindicated, even though the man's message was wrong. You know why? He said, oh, yeah, you do. No, he wasn't wrong. You know why? You know why Brother Branham wasn't wrong when he was teaching the White Horse Rider as the Holy Ghost? Do you know why he wasn't wrong? He said, you're a dummy. I'll agree with you. But come up here and explain why Brother Branham wasn't wrong. Because I say he wasn't, and I'll stand on it. You know why? He was just like the disciples that had heard Jesus' ministry and the Holy Ghost only quickened to them what was in Jesus' ministry and the message to the faith of the fathers. But the Holy Ghost had never shined light on them seals. Brother Branham wasn't responsible for what he was saying about the seals until light shined on them. Do you get it? I've said that for 40 years. What's wrong with you? Even though he would say something that would be wrong. Light had never shined. There was nobody could judge him. Why? Because a prophet stands before no man. Light had never shined down in there to show the White Horse Rider and what it was. But now it shined there. And for us to believe that, we're wrong. For him to believe the White Horse Rider was the Holy Ghost after then, he was wrong. No, he didn't say it. Church, why can't we see the opening of the Word? Let's stand. Just one verse and then we'll go.
Blessed be the time that our heart Christian love.
I apologize to the sister that never heard a message from us and to come and hear something like this, but I had to finish it. Just go home and think about it. I'm talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ revealed to you. Jesus Christ revealed into your heart to bring a new birth. It's just other words and terminologies. You see why I'm torn so much? Don't come to me after service and say, Brother Dale, is it me? Because I'm going to look at you and say yes. I'm true. You say, is it me because you're going to quit one day? I ain't going to quit this message. I ain't going to quit preaching. Maybe it's time to turn the reins over to somebody else to direct the church and me to sit back and preach. Me to be just a few weeks messages. Maybe it's that time. I don't know. I've cried. I've prayed. I don't know what to do. I know I've tried. So if you come and say, Brother Dale, is it me? I'm going to say yes, and then I ain't going to answer you at all. Then you're going to say to me, but what have I done? I'm going to say, forget it. If you don't know what you've done, then you ain't done nothing. But don't be dumb and lost. The church, I'm sorry. I've done everything I could do for 40-something years to get you to see Jesus Christ for yourself. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace unto us. Lord, we just commit everything into your hands because we've come to one place. We know the message of where we're at, and it's to hear you. So whatever your voice is, we'll take it, Lord. We'll take no matter what it comes or goes because it's you. The hour is finished for us to play and be sissified about our little doctrines and ideas. It ain't going to do us no good when they put a gun to our head and try to make us deny what we believe. It ain't going to do no good to throw us in jail for what we believe. It ain't going to change a thing. We're going to make it right now or we're not going to make it because we can't keep up with the footmen. What about when the horsemen get here? Lord, just have your way. Forgive me and let your love be made manifest into my heart because that's all I ever want. In Jesus' name, you dismiss. Let's pray one for another. Let me eat up again.